Oh, Miss Chris.
I don't know if I want to be up here so high. Can I be down there? Okay. For those, most of you know me. My name is Chris. A little bit about me. I am not an expert teacher. Actually, I'm greatly humbled to be here. A lot of you probably know more than me. This is what I have. I homeschool my kids for 20 years. I worked and taught in a private school, elementary school, and preschool for 2 years. And right now I'm a full-time payroll clerk. So I have two main passions in my life, and kids are one of them. Kids and recovery. These are two of my main passions. So I'm here to share about my experiences from the years of teaching. Kind of like a hiker telling another hiker, hey, go here and don't go there. So thank you for giving up your Saturday night to be here. I was really happy to see all of you. So the topic here is positive discipline. Discipline is always a kind of a hard topic to talk about, but it's very important. And so today I'm going to address a little bit about it. Think of questions at the end so you can ask about that. I'm sure if you ask a question, many other people are probably thinking, oh, I have that exact question. So I do have notes, so if you can turn to the page on positive discipline, I'm going to encourage you to write them down, because we're not going to remember anything. I mean, a lot of times I don't remember a whole lot unless I write them down. And so first of all, a little bit about why discipline is important. Now, discipline is important because 80% of the teacher quit because of discipline issues. And obviously, this is a big issue, and there's a negative tone to the discipline. When I say discipline in a classroom, a lot of you think of these really mean teachers, and we all have those in our lives that are really angry and yelling people. That's the negative discipline. They discipline because they're angry. The positive is to maintain order in a classroom, and it is for the kids' good that you discipline. And it is ultimately for their good, because you have a kid that is respectful and that they're, they listen. That's going to be valuable to that kid later on as an employee or anywhere. I mean, this is good for that kid. And also, if you think back, all influential teachers have orderly classrooms. If you think back to your favorite teacher, they do not have a chaotic classroom. They have a class that is engaged, and they have a class that is orderly, that flows from one thing to another. That's usually the case for good teachers. So discipline is really the underlying thing that goes on that you don't see, but that is true of all influential teachers. Jesus taught with authority. So Jesus himself, I can imagine when he taught, it was an orderly situation. It wasn't like people everywhere talking at once or throwing things. And later on, his disciple also did the same. And authority, structure, and order are everywhere in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, because God is a God of order. This is important. You last longer as a teacher. When your classroom is disciplined, you can teach for longer. You can be relaxed. Because when there's order, people learn better. And you feel better as a teacher. That makes you a better teacher. So it's good both ways. So before I go on, I want to tell you that I'm focusing on the teacher's part, because there are some kids with issues that we have no control over, and maybe there's something going on at home. Maybe this kid had some medical problems, or maybe the room temperature is too hot, or they're hungry. It could be all kinds of stuff, and we have no control over that. So I'm totally focusing on our part, and there are times that I have to say, you're not going to have a really good class. As a teacher, you're going to have to allow those times and give grace to yourself and say, you know, that was okay. That was fine. They're kids. They're human beings and they're kids. And so you learn from it and you do your best and you go on from there. Okay, so I come up with a CrossFit PAR, like an accepted level of standard. Best ways to eliminate discipline issue. Believe it or not, it's preparedness. This first one, preparedness, is the most important element of all things. Because when I started teaching at 16, I started teaching as a Sunday school teacher at 16, I didn't know anything, but I come really prepared. That's one thing I had. And I remember those kids, they want to know what you got for them. And so you being prepared will eliminate a lot of discipline issues. I didn't have a lot of discipline issues. And all I did was I prepared a lot for the class. And so this is super important. And I'm sure we're going to talk more about that in the other classes. So start preparation early and see it as a privilege. So I don't know all of you, but I get my lessons like a month before. Something like a month before. Read it as soon as you get it. I'm not saying, you know, start spending hours preparing it as soon as you get it, but read it and just keep it in the back burner. The Holy Spirit's going to use that, because whenever I'm like brushing my teeth or something, I'm thinking, oh, you know, sometimes a light will go on and I'll get an idea about that passage I just read, or something will happen that you need to allow time for good preparation. And so I encourage you to read your lessons as soon as you get them. And also, it's such a privilege. As teachers, we get to practice what we teach first. And so that way we can teach better. So that will, reading it will give you time to practice it, practice what you're going to teach, and that way the kids love hearing about your stories and how you did it, and even, you know, the funny stories that you tell, they love it. So this gives you a chance to do that. And, you know, the preparation that goes into teaching, the reward's going to be in heaven. Nobody's going to ever see that. Sometimes I give such great classes, nobody knew. And it's okay. Jesus sees it. Maybe sometimes I spend a lot of time preparing for that lesson and it went super well. No one knew, but gosh, it's so rewarding. Those kids knew and they're blessed and they're going to love you. And so just for that, that's enough. And our Father sees everything. And it's an investment. You invest in that kid. Who knew they're going to be someone, you know, really, really important someday. And they'll remember you. I know I do. I remember all the teachers that are influential in my life. Always adjust the curriculum to fit the age group of the class. So, I'm sorry to tell you, there is no perfect curriculum. If you are looking for that, it doesn't exist. In all my teaching career, I always had to adjust it to the needs of the class. Sometimes you're teaching the little kids and it's too much. And sometimes it's too babyish. Sometimes it's too much activity. And sometimes it's just too much, I don't know, theology or whatever. You can adjust it. I think a lot of you like to cook. A really good cook doesn't just open a can and serve it. They add stuff to it. You have to add your own stuff to the cooking. And it's kind of like that with curriculum. Yeah, so I really encourage you to do that. And then use child-friendly vocabulary. They don't talk like adults, so you have to remember that some words are really hard for them to understand, and even some Bible character names are really hard for them to say it. So I would, like, I sometimes make the whole class say some really hard names, or you know, you just think of an easier word to explain and use word pictures or objects or something. But depending on the class that you're teaching, just use vocabulary that they understand. Sometimes the little ones, and for 4th to 6th grade, they're more sophisticated. But use child-friendly vocabulary. Plan for blocks of time. Keep story time no more than 15 minutes. So I like to plan for blocks of time. A lot of curriculum would like insert discussion into the Bible story. That doesn't work really well with me. I think the best form that I've used is, you know, I always use the same format. Okay, so in the beginning, I would ask them for prayer requests or praises and let them talk because they come really excited. They want to share something, maybe exciting or sad or whatever. So it's a time for them to get their whatever wiggles out and share. And so once they have their turn, then I go into the story. There's a story time, and then I have a question time, and then craft or games, and then snacks. So something like that. I'm planned for blocks of time. That probably is the best format. And don't let your story go on for a very long time, because they can't. Their attention span is limited. They're kids, so especially the young ones. I don't do more than 10 minutes with the really, really young ones. The older ones go 15, 20 minutes. But keep that time short. That's the best. Be excited. Be excited about the lesson. I always tell them, this is the best story in the whole Bible. And I'm excited. And next time I taught, it's the best story. Anyway, and I'm excited about the craft or whatever, because they can sense your excitement. If you're excited about it, they're excited. And if you're like, I didn't really have time to prepare, and I am here because I have to. You know, they also sense that. So, yeah, be excited. Never just read the material. Maintain eye contact. So I know this is really hard for new teachers, but try your best not to read, because when you are reading, you're not looking at them. And they can do a lot in 2 minutes. So I always keep an eye contact at all times. And this is the preparation that comes in. You read at home. You read to a mirror. In the beginning, I did this. And you really get familiar with what you're teaching. Because during story time, your eyes are going to be on each one of them. And that way, they don't mess around. What is it? Plan more activities than needed, just in case. Reduce downtime. You want to prepare more things just in case Pastor Tim is passionate about a subject and he goes like 15 minutes over. You need to have, you know, stuff prepared. And you are, okay, Mike. Mike is filled with the Spirit and he just kept singing and wouldn't stop. So you want to be prepared for times like that. So just, I always plan more activity than needed. You can always use it next time if you don't use it, so it's not wasted or anything. So that's always a good idea. Invite student participation. I am big on student participation because kids talk. They learn better when they talk. And you want to ask them thought-provoking questions so they get thinking. And a lot of times when they're thinking, they're talking. Of course, you want to encourage that in an orderly fashion. They can all talk at the same time. But I always ask them questions. And then lastly, tell your own stories. They love hearing your stories. think back when you were their age and the stupid things you do. They love those. I used to tell them about how I was a bully once. Yeah. Yeah, I was. So anyway, it was, yeah. Okay, so anyway, even if I don't talk about anything else, that preparedness, that is the most important factor. And the next one, too, is teach with authority. Certain teachers, they come in the room and you could just sense their authority. And certain teachers, you don't sense that at all. And the kids sense it. So you want to start out strict and dressed as a teacher. So as a teacher, you know how teachers look like. You know, don't come in with flip-flops and your pajamas or, yeah. You know, just look kind of like a teacher. Because, and also know all their names. And I prefer standing and not sitting because when you stand, there's the added authority. And like I think Amber mentioned it, know their names because they're important individually. And they know, like if you don't know someone's name, take time in the beginning of the class and say, hey, what is your name? Welcome to our class and tell us a little bit about yourself. And that way, you know, the whole class gets to know that person, and then you can call on them when it's time. You make eye contact. Rebecca, stop it. But if I didn't know who she is, then, it's, you know, you have less authority. So know their names. Leave all your insecurities at home. Be confident in the Lord. This one I struggle with. I know we all have a lot of personal fears and insecurities, but when you teach, your confidence needs to come from the Lord. And the power of the Holy Spirit is with you. Don't forget that. You need to plug into that power and know that He's with you. So the confident teachers, they're the ones with authority. And so let that confidence shine through you. Nip it in the bud. So stop a behavior early. That is a very important thing because a lot of times it's not like you don't want to bring out the consequence the first time, but when they're messing around a little bit, you want to make eye contact and let them know, I see that, and say, stop it. Or just a little bit, let them know, okay, that is not acceptable. And sometimes it's in your face. You're like, you know, the death look. Yeah, so you can do that. And I find that it's a lot easier to stop the little messing around than when it's a full-blown, the whole class out of control, then nobody wants to listen. And so always keep the classroom rules few and simple. They don't remember if you give them a laundry list of 10 rules. They're not going to remember that. So my guideline is 3. Keep 3 very simple rules. And in the beginning of the class, you tell them what those rules are. And keep to it. And they will remember. Oh, I'm sorry. You are the boss and judge for that hour and a half. So that's why you have authority. You are put in charge. These kids are not in charge of you. You are the boss and you are the judge. You're the ultimate judge. So when the two kids are fighting, you listen carefully. Why'd you do that? You know, you listen to their story and you be the judge. And it's if you don't know what to do, you can always send them to Brittany or Amber. But know that you have that authority and you can be the boss. You can decide. Some teachers are very indecisive. They're like, oh, you don't want to do coloring? Okay, maybe we shouldn't do that. No. That's why you prepare. You're going to do it and give them a choice. You can do the coloring or you can go sit with your mom in the big sanctuary. Yeah, they have a choice. Okay, so don't be afraid to follow up with consequence. Of course, you guys know, when you have rules, you gotta follow up with consequence. And timeout is allowed. A lot of times, I just separate them with their favorite person to mess around with. They hate sitting, well, to a certain degree, they don't like sitting with the opposite, like boy, girl, boy, girl. If you sit them boy, girl, boy, girl, they're really good. having authority is not the same as being mean. A lot of us are afraid to keep order because we feel like that's being mean. It's not the same. Sometimes not allowing the distracting child to continue messing around and distracting others from learning, that is being loving and that is being right. And so you're doing the right thing, and you know, of course, like Amber said, you are going to be firm and loving. You're not going to lose your temper, but that is not the same as being mean. Expect order in the classroom. Use attention getters. So, expectations. Kids know what you expect. You expect order, they can comply to that. You'd be surprised. One time I was teaching a class, and there was a teacher that was sick, so I ended up with 20 kids in my class, and I was like by myself. I was tough. But they knew I expected order, and they knew not to mess around with me. So you never know. Maybe that'll be you someday, and you'll know what to do. And lastly, just real quick, give rewards. I think I'm big on rewards because they're kids. And if I said, there's this giant cookie for those that listen and not, you know, distract, and I'm going to give this giant cookie to that person, they're going to be super, that's a huge incentive for them to do the right thing. Always notice and praise the right behavior. So this is hard for teachers, but always notice the one that's sitting quietly and say, oh, look at Susie sitting so quietly. I just love that. What a good job you're doing. And they're all going to want to be like Susie. bring rewards for the questions and answering time. I always have question and answering because it keeps them participating and also thinking. When you ask them questions, they're thinking and they're participating, but you want to give rewards for that. Praise insightful comments and question. When they ask a question, you want to say, huh, that is a great question. I'm glad you asked that. You know, just kind of like what Amber said. Don't say, oh. That's really a dumb question. You don't ever want to say that to kids. You want to tell them, wow, that is a good question. And there are no dumb questions. When they're asking a question, that's a good question. Okay, smile and express your happiness when they're doing what they should. We forget to do that as teachers. We forget to show that we are happy. And phrase your commands as positive instead of negative. Say thank you for keeping your hands to yourself instead of don't hit. Or please be quiet. Or don't talk. Or we listen during story time. Just rephrase your command as a positive command. Did I skip any? Okay, inform them of their privilege to be in class and sitting next to their friends. Sitting next to friends and sitting in that class is a privilege. So sometimes you need to help them remember that. And then last one, choose your battles. You don't want to correct every single behavior. That's super draining. So sometimes, you know, they're just kids. You use your better judgment and you let some little things go. if sometimes they're just excited and they jump up and run around and then sit back down, that's fine. And sometimes they fear a very, maybe hear a really interesting Bible story and they want to act it out. You know, sometimes it's okay. They're just excited. And so you don't have to correct everything. But of course, if one is being mean to the other or certain things, you wanna take time to do that. So, okay. All right. Thank you.